Tonight I want to talk a little bit. When I talked to Brother Connor last evening, and he said, a couple of weeks ago he asked, and I just wasn't ready. And I said, yeah, I can be ready for tomorrow, Brother Connor. And as soon as I said that, I said, Lord, you know, I want to share something, a story of who you are, and kind of something you like, something that is pleasing to you. And I think we're going to share that story. How effectively I do it, I don't know, but we're going to do the story. Last year, on the 26th of April, I preached Never Ending Supply. Zechariah chapter 4, which talks about the olive trees and by the seven lampstands. And that continues on to where it speaks of not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become as a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And Second Chronicles, we shared a story about Rehoboam, I believe. Yeah, Rehoboam. And how he, when the enemy come in and took their gold treasures, he made brass treasures. In other words, he had kind of something that looked kind of like, but it wasn't the real thing. And this, in comparison, I've heard many sermons on that, about comparing that with what the church substitutes for the Holy Spirit. It's not real. And then in John, where it speaks of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, and they're thoughts of good, not of evil, and to give you a future and hope. Last lesson that we did out of Romans 15, we talked about hope, and the Lord really drove that into my heart, how hope is so valuable. And the people give up hope, and have no hope. It's a very difficult existence. In Christ, we have all the hope we'll ever need. In Christ. And I want to tell or read this out of the book of John, chapter 37 and verse, chapter 7. How many knows there's no 37? He said, oh, man, what's he talking about? John 7, 37 through 44. And we'll start with reading the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the title of this message tonight is the same as last year, Never Ending Supply. You know, the Holy Spirit never runs out, nor does the promises of Jesus Christ. What Brother Connor ministered to us this morning was a sermon also of hope, in that there's... How many could identify with what he spoke about? You know, it goes a long time before you see the answer to a promise. And you think, oh my goodness, is it ever going to happen? But our God is eternal, and what he promises is eternal. And you can be guaranteed that the Lord will keep his word. So we're going to start there in chapter 7 of book of John. And verse 37, and it said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, this was the feast of the tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. I really like what I see when I hear these words. The rivers of living water. In verse 30, I guess that's 39, I can't see it too clearly. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we honor you tonight. What we want, Lord, is to see you and to hear your voice and to know that you have everything covered. We want, Lord, to realize that when you gave us the Holy Spirit, you gave us the unending supply. And Lord, we'll never come to a place to where you said there's not another drop to go around, but there'll always be a river. There'll always be more than enough. And for that, Lord, we're so grateful that our hope is unending, that our mercy supply will never dry up. We give you glory and we give you honor and we pray anointing upon your holy word. Amen. So I want to read just kind of for a little added perspective, the next few verses, 40 through 44, that says, "Who is he?" with a question mark. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is a prophet." These are inspirational words. And others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. The reason I wanted to read that, it's really not so much that it pertains to what I want to speak about, but Jesus Christ brings division in the way people think. And how many of these folks realized the truth of who he was, that he was a prophet and even more right on is he is the Christ. And then they were questioning Galilee, and indeed they should, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We know that everything about Jesus is the truth, that he fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. Not only that, but he will fulfill the rest of the prophecies when he returns, and throughout the end of the ages, forever, eternity, Jesus will be fulfilling the promises that God gave. So just that, and we need to know, we do know this. I mean, I'm speaking to a group of people that's been saved a while. You know that there's only one superstar in Christianity. That's not some preacher on TV. It's not anybody. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that we need to give that kind of glory to. There's a lot of good people doing God's work. I don't mean that. And there's a lot that are respectable and need to be respected. But only Jesus is a superstar. And, you know, no matter how someone, how they operate in God or how they minister or whatever, they're still not the superstar. It's Christ. But I like the setting here, because this was something where the priest would go gather water in a gold pot. That'd be nice to have a gold pot to gather water in, huh? And yesterday, Sister Marcia was doing some work, and she said, "Now, don't get rid of that black bucket over there. I use that." So there are a lot of things that may not be gold, but they're very useful. And I understand in the work that I do, sometimes people throw something away and they don't realize that's useful. You've taken away something that has a purpose. But these gold bowls or vials, they filled with water, and then they would come and they would dump them out. And this represented Moses in the wilderness and the water that came that the Lord provided for them, an absolute miracle. And so when Jesus comes and he sees all of that, he says, "Wow, this is what we're here for. This is why I came to this earth, and I am going to fulfill this tradition of coming and bringing and pouring out the water. No longer will they have to go and find a supply and then come back and pour it out before God, because there's coming something better than the water, and that is the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, "If any man thirsts..." Now, that's important. We've got a thirst. I know if I asked you how many have ever thirsted, somebody might say, "Well, I'm thirsty right now." There's water in the back if you want it. There's a lot of times that we're going to be thirsty. But when you really thirst after the things of God and the Spirit of God, as the young people said last week, when you've got to be hungry for it, and when you are, the Lord will supply. And I believe that with all of my heart, that the Lord and what Jesus was enthusiastic about was His Holy Spirit. That was something that He pushed more than anything. Don't do anything until you as a church are filled with the Spirit. Then you can go. Then you can do. Then you can operate. But you can't operate without the Spirit. And the Scripture says that He's talking about a river that flows from the inward parts of us. A living water. A river that never will end. Isn't it nice to sit along a river that's flowing really good? I can remember when I was a teenager, we went to Washington State, and our friends lived near Seattle, and well, somewhere between, probably in between Seattle and Vancouver, and they took us to a river where we were going to fish. I never cared a lot about fishing, but I sure like running around by the river. And I remember that river. It was wide, and it was really flowing. And the water was so, you know, so clear. And it was a beautiful river. I don't know the name of it, but I'll never forget that experience. And what we need to understand is that what Jesus was saying is, I'm going to give you something like Niagara Falls coming from within you and flowing out. But we have to be thirsty. We have to want those things. And then we have to be willing for the water to flow from us too. And it can flow in so many different ways, in the way we pray, in the way we worship, and the testimonies that we give. And I thought, you know, it's good for us to talk about Jesus. I printed out songs, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And I left it at home. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, I think, than I'd ever heard. And I had the verses. I would have been able to look down at them and tell you what they said. But you know that song. And then there's Let's Talk About Jesus. King of kings is He, Lord of lords. And again, I printed, it's shorter, so I could have really ran through that quickly for you, but I didn't bring it with me. But we need to talk about Jesus. We need to think about Jesus. And we need to realize that He is the source of our power and the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't divide up Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was always saying, be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit's always saying, you need to lift up Jesus. You need to lift up. There's no war there. And if anybody says, well, how should the church be? You know what I'm going to say. The church should be Pentecostal because it was born on the day of Pentecost. You can change all that you want and the names and all that. When the church dropped the Pentecostal power, they dropped, to me, everything that was important. And trying to go around that and trying to add programs to make up for it will not be sufficient. And I don't want to stand before the Lord and He say, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Because it's not a good thing. Two scripture. The scripture in Isaiah 12 and 3. When the priest carried these bowls or containers of water, these gold containers, they quoted the scripture out of Isaiah 12 and 3. And it says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that whole chapter, Isaiah 12, is one of praise, and it ends up giving glory and honor to Almighty God. And then also associated with that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and where it says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the symbolism from the Old Testament, where there's water just flowing because those people needed water. You know what? This whole thing about Israel escaping and getting away from Egypt is a miracle. 2.5 to 3 million people. Some have said, oh, there was only 1 million people. I don't care if there was only 200,000. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. The logistics of that is almost impossible. But God led the people in circles for 40 years because they wouldn't obey. But if they had obeyed, it would have been a lot less wear and tear on them, and God would have led them straight to the promised land. But he did it the way he had to because of the disobedience. And every time they ran into a need, they wanted to kill Moses. Oh yeah, Moses, look what you did. You and Aaron, oh, you guys are trouble. And these people were also the people that would, any little distraction, and they would want to go off and be pagans and worship idols. But God had patience with the people. But the symbol of the Lord providing enough water for that many people, you know, you're not talking about two or three buckets full. You're talking about a lot of water. But what God has for us in the Holy Spirit is incredible. Now, I want to just say one more thing here, and then I'm going to move on. And that is, what can Jesus do? Let's think about one of the my favorite chapters in the Bible is Mark 5. Because there, Jesus, the first thing he does is cast out the legion of demons. That's pretty impressive. Anytime you cast out one demon, that's impressive. Two or three, that's amazing. But Jesus took care of the legion of demons. And then he had a man meet him and said, "My daughter is dying. I really need prayer." And as Jesus was on his way, a little lady touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Somebody has touched me." And the disciple said, "Are you kidding? Everybody's touching you." He said, "Something else, something different. Someone's really touched me." And this little lady, when she touched the hem of his garment, she showed a faith and a confidence in the Lord, and she received her healing. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And then they get on the road again, and the news comes that, "Oh, no longer is your daughter sick, she's dead." And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it, we got this covered." And when he got there, there were people already mourning, probably getting paid for it, and by the cup of tears or whatever they cried out. And they said, "She's dead, nothing can be done." And Jesus said, "Now you leave. Let's go in," and he brought her back to life. So what can Jesus do? What needs do we have today that wouldn't be covered by the power that he demonstrated in one chapter? And that's not the only one. There's places where Jesus went in and healed and delivered demons out of the whole city, out of the whole bunch of them. And I love that. I love the power that Jesus demonstrated, and he demonstrated it on the way to the cross to give his life for you and I so that we could walk in the way that he walked. He is the Savior. He is the baptizer. So you don't have to worry about people are not going to hold your Holy Spirit back. You can have all the Holy Spirit you want. It's amazing. I used to go to Smorgasbord and or eat so much. All you can eat. Now I go in there and I think they're ripping me off because I can't eat enough anymore to make that work. I don't understand it, but it is the truth. But I used to like the idea of going in and no one saying, "You can't have this, you can't have that, you can have everything that you want." And that's the way Jesus is with the Holy Spirit. He's not holding us back from anything. You can have all that you want. Now, I want to say that I believe within my heart, people go back and forth on small churches, big churches, and I've always been a part of a small church, never been a part of a big church. And I have no criticism toward the big church. They do what they do, and we do what we do. But I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit can be amazing in our church as we get hungry and call on Him and see the power of God. See, logistically, we're perfectly set to see the Spirit do whatever He wants to do. It's exciting to me when the Holy Spirit begins to take over and we just kind of surrender and give it up, and He does amazing things. This is the Spirit that has no limit, and He can do all things. And He's directed by Jesus and trying to please the Lord. I want to go real quickly to the book of Acts chapter 6. I'm going to give you two examples of something that I find amazing, and that is being full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I've ever arrived to that yet. I want to. I really want to see the Spirit as powerful as He can be within my life. Acts 6 and 3 through 8 says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we will give ourselves to continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They're going to appoint deacons. They were going to have men that would assist and help out. So the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and they, when they prayed, they laid hands on them. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Isn't that amazing? What took place with these 7 people? That's not very many, but God franchises. I may be misusing that. That may not be exactly what it is. But God distributes power through others. And, you know, we can see amazing things happen. And so if you take a church our size and everybody full of the Holy Ghost, no telling what we can do. But let me tell you what this is. It's good for the kingdom of God. Amen? It's good for business. It's good for the blessing and the power of God, both in our lives, and others will see the benefit as well. One more verse, 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." I like that, don't you? I mean, signs and wonders are appealing. Signs and wonders are neat. And I think that the Lord is still capable of doing whatever has ever been done. And He can repeat that in our lives and in our church. I believe that with all of my heart. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He can do incredible things. Now I want to go down to Acts 11, 24, where we're looking at Barnabas full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And that's just one verse there. "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." Don't you just love what that saying, that here's a good man, number one, and I'm thankful that when they looked out, they could find 7 good men of good reputation in Acts 6. They were able to find that seemingly with no problem. And Barnabas was, to me, he was one of the most easygoing guys in the Bible. It seemed like everybody spoke well of him. And I know he and Paul had their disagreement, but you know what? It seems that in some ways that Barnabas is the one that took the high road and did what he did. And I know Paul had an agenda and a ministry, and he did. I have no criticism for Paul, who is one of the greatest apostles of all time. But Barnabas also, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. It seems to me that the Holy Spirit and faith seems to tie together quite a bit. And if you want, like Brother Connor mentioned Jude this morning, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And some people say, well, that doesn't mean tongues. It does in my book. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in tongues. And if you want to look at it another way, go ahead. Just don't get in my way with it. Because I believe that the power that we have of praying in the Spirit, praying in an unknown language, is absolutely an awesome power. I believe it. Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." So, you know what? If you have a problem with that, then when you get to heaven, ask Paul what he was talking about. And I think today we need to understand that there is a spiritual realm that we can enter into every day. Not only every day, but any time of the day. There's some things that we can only do certain times. You can't call some people certain times because they're not there, not at the business. But you can call on God at any time, and any time you can minister in the unknown language, any time you can praise, you can give thanks, and if you give thanks in the Holy Spirit, you give thanks well. If you pray, you pray the mind and the will of God in tongues. So it's an absolute awesome benefit, and we ought to take advantage of everything that we can. Never ending supply. When we work, I saw the guys at Don's house on Friday, and they really used up a lot of material. They have a little bit left, but my, they went through it. When they started on their decking, they come down and have one piece left, and because they ordered what it took for the job. What God has ordered for us is more than any job we can ever figure. And there's no limit. There's no stopping. There's no point of, you can't have that. You can't do this, because the Spirit of God is ready and flowing and ready to flow from us like a river. So we get thirsty and we call on the Lord. And we say, Lord, just fill me with your Spirit. The scripture in Ephesians says that they were continually being filled with the Spirit. Do we run out? How many thinks we might get low sometimes? You could get low, but you can always open up and receive. We've got to open up to receive it. God's not just going to, overwhelm you. He might sometimes. You can't tell. But for the most part, we're going to open our hearts and we're going to say, Lord, fill me. And he will fill us, and we'll get like a river flowing within our spiritual being. And what God wants to do, and when God says to pray for someone, he's got a reason for that. And it may be that they need the encouragement of someone just caring enough to pray for them. And little things that we do when God nudges us in the Spirit may have big implications for someone's life, and it may really bless them. How many's going through something right now? Something. Raise your hand. I want to see. I'm curious. Who knows how the Lord wants to use one of the brothers or sisters in the church to bring an encouragement to you to know that God, and of course, I appreciate the ministry of the word. That's an encouragement. This morning's sermon by Pastor Connor, that the God has not forgotten, and a promise that we have, don't give up on it. And that's the cure, that's the kind of the key to it all. Don't give up, because we can see signs and wonders. And we can see the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives as much as we open our, we're like that jar, right, that the priest carried. We come and get under the spout where the glory comes out. I've heard that expression all my life, and it may be a little corny, but it may work. It may work if we just open up our hearts. And when does the Holy Spirit flow within us? Anytime we want. Anytime that we're open. There's no time limit. Anytime. You say, well, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Open up the spout. Let the Lord minister, because he can do that at any time. I want Debbie to come. I want us to pray. Matter of fact, why don't everybody kind of, if you feel like standing up, stand up. Feel like sitting down, sit down. And I just want us to come up to the front. Oh my goodness, I messed that sitting down thing up awfully bad. Come down to the front if you feel like it. You can sit on the front or just sit where you're at. I don't want it to be too big of a deal, but I want us just to love Jesus for a minute and just open our hearts for the Spirit of God to just flow within us. If the Lord inspires you in some way, if the Lord speaks to your heart, and you have a testimony after that, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. But let's just give the Lord a minute of our time. Just a minute of our time. We got a big week ahead of us. We got a lot to get done. We're kind of hoping that we'll have cabinets by next weekend. We don't know exactly, but we're hoping that. And so we're seeing things happen, and that's all good. But what's better is to see the Lord just ministering through us with his power and his Spirit. Let's just love him today. Holy Jesus, we're so thankful that you can do all things. We're so thankful, Lord, and you've answered our prayers. There's other needs, Lord, that need to be answered. There's other situations. There's mountains that need to come down. And it's not going to be by the might or the power or the wisdom of man. Holy God, holy God, holy God. We heard this morning that Judy Pierce can't be helped by the doctors. But Lord, we know that through your Spirit you can minister absolute deliverance from her. And Lord, we've prayed and we've asked you, but Lord, we want you to minister in her life and in the life of both she and Alan. Lord, your mercy, your mercy, your mercy. Oh Lord God, your mercy for life, your mercy for restoration. Lord, we're so thankful for your provision for Mike and Candace. We pray that you'll continue to minister mercy to Mike. Jesus, by your hand, your mercy, Lord God. And for others who have needs that are beyond them. And it's hard for us, Lord, not to have control. We want to control. We want to take care of it. We want to take care of all of our responsibilities and obligations. But God, you can minister grace tonight. And we pray that in your name, Jesus, in your name, Jesus, that you'll minister help. We love you. We love you, Jesus, and we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise and we honor your name. Lord, you're so precious. And your Spirit and your presence, so precious. We're thankful, Lord, that people who come here can recognize that your Spirit is here. We're thankful for the promises that you've given, that this is a healing place. And we know healing is all about physical and mental and relationships and our whole life. You're the healer, Almighty Jesus. You're the healer. Jesus, we give you glory. Jesus, we honor your name. You're our Lord and our Savior. And we're thankful for the power that you demonstrated in the Gospels. We're thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection power by the Spirit of God. We pray mercy tonight, Lord, mercy. And give us words of wisdom and help us to lead the lost to you. And open up a door in this Campbell area where souls will come in needing you. I pray, Lord, that if there's any obstacle, that you take that away. And that you'll open a door that hungry people can come and know you as Savior. And join with us in worshiping you and loving you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Mercy, Lord. We need your mercy, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We need your mercy. We accept your mercy and we open our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Holy God, 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 holy God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. The Jesus that can do anything, and the Holy Spirit that wants to help and comfort and lift up Christ in our hearts and lives is able to do anything for us tonight. Praise God. And He loves us. He loves us with an unfailing love. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless in your name, Jesus. Bless your people. Bless your people. Touch our hearts. Just let us feel the embrace of your Spirit tonight. How you love us. How you love us. You showed it on the cross, Lord, but it's not over. It's not over. You still love us. Every day that we live, you love us and you care about our lives. And I pray for your mercy. Oh, holy God, your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Jesus, holy Jesus. Praise God. Anyone have something you want to share, or you have a request for prayer? It's a good time to pray. God's able. Audrey? Amen. How many have seen weird things in church? And people acting weird. And at the end of it, feeling good about it. Because it's not a matter of us and our dignity. It's a matter of God and His glory. Amen. God wants to do things for us. And I think we're on the, we say this often, but I do think we're on the very doorstep of seeing the Spirit of God just pour out. I remember years ago seeing in a meeting in Africa, mainly a Muslim crowd, and I think it was Bonki that was the minister, and the Spirit of God moved over those people, and I could see there was a resistance, right? And it seemed like there was kind of a couple of, like a wind, and the third time everybody was down on the ground. Wow, what God can do. And I know there's been pushing and shoving to make people feel like they've been slain in the spirit. You don't have to push or shove, just the touch and the mercy of God. And I will say this, I've been slain in the spirit where that the Spirit of God just come over me with such an incredible peace and calm and hope. And I thought, wow, that is pretty cool. Why don't we do that more often? It's there. It's an open door. It's available to you. Not to the church down the street or someone else. It's available in us and to us. And He loves us. The Lord's been with this church. We've gone through a lot of stuff. The Lord's been with us. And He's got a reason for all that. And let's be faithful, because the things that we'll see, we'll be able to look back and say, thank God we hung on. And He was merciful. Anyone else want to share before we pray? Then let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for each one of these that are gathered in your name. You see the week that we have ahead of us, and I pray for strength, and I pray for blessing, and I pray, Lord, that you'll open some doors. Lord, that you'll open a door for Dorothy. Your mercy in her and Michael's life. Your mercy, Holy God. Mercy, Lord, for everyone who's waiting on something. I pray, God, that you'll show them your delivering power and grace. For those who need strength in their body, those who need a clearer mind, I pray your mercy. We honor and give you glory. Amen.